such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good afternoon. This is Mary Hallin Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and it is my privilege, as I do on most Mondays, to sit in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am also privileged today to be joined by a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Father Jim Hyde. Father, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to be here.
Father is a priest of the Archdiocese, a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, and serves as the Archdiocese of Chicago's delegate to pro-life issues. So, Father Jim, tell us a little bit about your work, some of the things that you do in your priestly ministry.
Thank you. my principal work right now is I'm on the board of the Chicago March for Life, and I've teamed up with Don Fitzpatrick, who does our pro-life, respect life ministry in the Archdiocese. And we just had, about 7,000 people downtown.
I was one of them. I think I saw you, actually, now that I'm thinking of it.
Yeah. So we've been cutting our teeth on that. And what's unique about the Chicago March is that we make it a sort of pilgrimage. I'm in charge of the liturgies at various parishes around the city. You know, we have Washington, they get hundreds of thousands of people we know, and I've learned a lot from that experience over the years, as many of our faithful have. And San Francisco, the West Coast March, has about 70,000, and they started out of Holy Redeemer Church in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We're developing this, and it's got a Chicago flavor to it, and so I'm in charge of putting the liturgies together, like at St. Peter's. We had the San Damiano Mass, which has a Franciscan theme, exactly what the Pope wants.
Beautiful.
So that's a principal work of mine. And then I do a lot of missions and help out at parishes. And so we're just trying to pretty much keep the work. I mean, you and I have gone back years ago when we were at Cook County Hospital in the early 90s. And in many ways, it's just preparing another generation to accept the helm of leadership in the pro-life movement.
So what Father is referring to, listeners, is when, as he mentioned, back in the early 90s, Cook County Hospital, up until then, had only used public funds for abortions in the cases of rape, incest, and life of the mother. So to keep people from taxpayers from having to be involved in an elective procedure that they found morally reprehensible, if not questionable. And so to keep kind of a line, you know, that's really where the minds of most Americans are. Even if they are pro-choice, they don't want to use public tax funds to pay for what is an elective procedure. So it's not a medically necessary procedure. So that had been the long-standing policy at Cook County Hospital. Mm-hmm. And Richard Phelan, who was sadly a Catholic, decided under pressure from some in the Democratic Party and the abortion industry here in Chicago, which is quite vibrant, sad to say, you know, quite a few both private abortion clinics, but also a good number of abortion advocacy groups really pressured him. And it was his decision. It really was almost a sole decision on his part to change the policy. And so there was quite an outcry from from the public, and Father Jim and I sort of met there, leading sort of prayerful protests at Cook County Hospital and trying to bring the public's voice to really what was a very public issue. And, you know, sadly now in Illinois, what do we see, Father Jim? It's the entire state. We have publicly funded abortions for any reason, for any time in pregnancy, for all state of Illinois employees, and for all Medicaid recipients. So that's a huge swath of people here in our area who now can, you know, have free abortions. And there's no limit on the number of abortions a woman can have under this new public funding bill. So that's why we're seeing Planned Parenthood's opened just now a new clinic in Flossmoor, Illinois. We were talking about that on this show a couple of weeks ago. And now they also have plans to open up four additional clinics because of this new revenue stream of publicly funded abortions that's going to be coming in.
It's really sad, you know, because we started our generation, Mary. You know, we had been inspired by people like, you know, Pro-Life Action League, the Shidlers, Dr. Wilkie, Dr. Nathanson, you know, so many people.
Dr. Mildred Jefferson, my young daughter just did, I had to do a history project on during African-American History Month, Black History Month last month on an African-American. And so she chose Dr. Mildred Jefferson, who was the first Black woman to graduate from to attend and graduate from Harvard's medical school, and who also was one of the co-founders of the National Right to Life Committee. So she was a great pro-life voice. But do you remember you and I got to meet her when she was here at a Speak Out Illinois conference?
It's kind of nice in hindsight to go back and to think of that history. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about Cardinal George and some of his history and that kind of, you know, now that down the road and we're at the stage where we're at. And a number of these people have left autobiographies. A number of things have been written. I would say that since the time that we started, we have so many books and, you know, we got the Human Life Review and just LifeSite and all these materials. And now it's interesting to kind of go back and think about those days. And there are obstacles still, as you say, and there's setbacks. But we have been... No question, this movement has attracted some exceptional people, and we've been blessed, and that basically sustains us. You know that we don't give up on the struggle for life, and that this city and this state, you know, which has such, you know, the Lincoln legacy of Abraham Lincoln, and then also in this town of ours in the city, we have such, you know, our immigrant Catholics who came and created the culture and the church. And that's our heritage, and at least we have that behind us, and we'll move forward, you know, with faith and confidence.
Right. Well, you know, I like what you mentioned there, that the pro-life movement has really, you know, attracted some, I mean, incredible intellects. You and I were talking off-air about Dr. Jerome Lejeune, who was, of course, the Lejeune Foundation, the French physician who discovered the gene for Down syndrome. Great pro-lifer, so committed to the equal dignity of all people, including those with Down syndrome. And I know so disheartened and discouraged by his discovery being used to destroy those children whom he loved so much.
He should have gotten the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
And he was invited to the White House, actually, by President Kennedy, you know, because of his research, along with others. I got a chance to go to Paris this summer, and Chicago and Paris has such a connection. You know, if you look at our St. James Chapel, it's a replica of Sainte-Chapelle in Paris.
Right, right.
You know?
The St. James Chapel at the Quigley Building, listeners, for those of you who don't know it.
And it was so neat to see Dr. Lejeune's work. And then Notre Dame gave the Center of Ethics and Culture, they gave that award, the Evangelium Vitae Award, to the Lejeune Foundation.
Right, so, just last year,
Yeah, so Dr. Lejeune certainly is, you know, one of those exceptional scholars and human being, and he's up, I guess, for canonization.
Yeah, well, and as he should be, because he was, you know, you see throughout the history of the church, so many of our saints were also scholars, you know, the Catholic priest who, of course, discovered the Big Bang theory, you know, Father Lemaître, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. But the pro-life movement in particular has just attracted not only very smart people. I mean, I think of Professor Marianne Glendon at Harvard. I think of Professor Robbie George at Princeton. I think of Professor Helen Alvarez, George Mason Law School, really, you know, brilliant people, brilliant writers, but also just very good people. And, you know, you and I have been in the pro-life movement long enough to know a lot of people know the big names, but a lot of people don't know sort of the little names, if you will, that the people who day in and day out, they take in pregnant women, they go and they pray in front of clinics, they make real sacrificial donations out of their livelihood in order to support pregnancy centers, in order to support adoption agencies, in order to adopt, you know, special needs children themselves. I mean, these are like the day-to-day pro-life heroes and heroines that really sort of, you know, make up the core and the backbone of the pro-life movement, the grassroots, if you will. And I think that's why over the course of 40 years, the pro-life movement has never gone away. Since the day Roe was decided, you know, you just had people who realized we're in this for the long haul. We're not going away because we can't go away. The Lord will not allow us to, right? It's simply not right for us to walk away from such an injustice. And so I think that it's because of not only those great names that we all know, but also because of those lesser names that we don't know, that the movement's really been able to sustain itself all these years.
That's a great point, Mary. And one time I was on the pulpit talking about this, how a number of us work in this professionally and, you know, have a particular position, a leadership and such, but it's the rank and file, it's our people, and they have their jobs, they're raising their families. A lot of these people are at the Aid for Women or the Women's Center that we know well, and they're volunteering, they're giving, you know, the baby bottles that are filled by these people.
Right.
And so in that sense, and they are pro-life, and the younger people are pro-life. And we see that at the march. So we just don't give up. You're right. We have to know that God's called us to this task.
Right. And you know, when you talk to someone in the pro-life movement who's doing this kind of work, everyone, you know, it was funny. I was giving a talk 2 weeks ago out in DuPage County here in Illinois and, you know, finished my presentation. And it was to a group of very sort of successful businessmen and businesswomen. And one of them, this question caught me totally off guard. Why did you decide to do this with your life? And I had to stop and think about it, you know, because it's one of those things where I don't know that it was as much a decision that I made as much as it was a call that I answered. And so and I did tell the person, I said, you know, I normally don't like to give talks, particularly on this issue, and then talk about me, because it's not about me at all. It's not about why I'm just here as the instrument. And so it was a certain level of discomfort. But I can understand for someone who doesn't do the work day to day, who would be interested and fascinated, you know, for example, by like, for example, Marian Glendon, who didn't have to take sort of the very public positions on abortion that she took. But as an intellectually honest person and a law professor at Harvard, she felt like she had to. So but again, you know, one of the most compelling interviews I've done on this show all of this year had to be with Susan Walker, who is the woman who began a ministry to bury abandoned babies who were found dead. So, for example, you know, there's a very sad story in the Chicago Tribune about 6 months ago about two babies, one who had been found in a shed and one who was, I believe, thrown off the roof. I mean, just horrific things, both infants. Yeah. And what Susan has begun to do is, if no one comes forward to claim the bodies, the sheriff in both Lake County and in Cook County allow her to claim the bodies, and then she designs burial gowns for the babies, and she has funerals for them. And then she calls all of her friends, and she calls different parishes, and she says, "We're having a funeral for these two babies, and I want this church filled." And you know, who knows? I mean, I know Susan's name, and I know many others do too. But you think, you know, she's not a household name, but my goodness, she should be to do that kind of work with absolutely no personal benefit to her. Certainly no financial benefit. She's always trying to raise money to, you know, for the cost of the burial and for the caskets and for the little gowns that the babies are dressed in. So, but these are the kind of beautiful, sweet souls that make up the heart of the pro-life movement. And, you know, that's why it is a movement I'm so proud to be a part of. I'm so glad God has called me to it. And I also like, Father Jim, that you mentioned, too, just the surge of young people who are involved in the pro-life movement. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but when I go to the march now, I feel so old because I'm about three times the age, I think, of the average person who's there. And, you know, that young people have really taken this as a social justice cause to their hearts. And of course, you know, I do think for them, unlike us, who were born after Roe,
that's right.
I think for them, they really do understand that a third of their generation's missing.
Yes.
So it's, you know, Father, you do a lot of work with post-abortion ministry as well, don't you? Can you speak a little bit about that?
I've attended the Rachel's Vineyard retreats and, you know, Project Rachel too with Vicki Thorne up in Milwaukee. So over the years, not only have I gone up to Milwaukee and to attend and learn from Vicki Thorne on the post-abortion, the consequences of an abortion, and certainly you hear that in our pastoral work as a priest. And like my brother priests, you know, we're constantly faced by that. And that's one of the reasons why I jumped into this work, because I saw that a lot of women were suffering and crying and upset. And then, of course, then the Rachel's Vineyard is a longer retreat, you know, for over a weekend. And to witness women suffering, and men too, as Dr. Tigers from Rutgers says, you know, men are outlaws today. They're feeling disenfranchised.
Right.
They don't have a voice in this matter. And so to see the, as one of our priests, Father Tom Coys, always says, that there's this, you know, this battleground between men and women, you know, and this brokenness, and abortion is the consequence. So all this, just in a priest's life, it's all to the forefront. It was early in my priesthood, and that's why I responded. And I continue to try to learn, you know, there's always new insights on the consequences of abortion. And I think certainly you and I, Mary, and others have, you know, met people, post-abortion women, who are, you know, we have the Silent No More campaign that is at the Washington March, and they speak about their experience.
Right.
And they're great testimonies that hopefully will, you know, turn this around.
So they were like the Me Too movement before the Me Too movement existed. So, okay, well, Father, when we get back, we're going to be joined by another guest, Mike Stark. We're going to continue our conversation. Mm-hmm. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and we were chatting in the last segment with Father Jim Hyde, who is the Archdiocese of Chicago's priest liaison to the pro-life community and to different pro-life ministries, a graduate of the University of Notre Dame. And now we, our listeners, joined by someone who is not a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, but we are letting him sit with us anyway. I didn't go there as well. I'm married to one, but I'm not
a
domer myself.
You're a rambler.
I'm a rambler. And the Ramblers, the Loyola Ramblers, they're going to the dance. Mm. They're going to the NCAA. The last time they were there.
85.
I was a sophomore. I was a sophomore at Loyola. And I remember, you know who we lost? We lost to Georgetown. So I would say if we had to go down, at least we went down to another Jesuit school. But so the Ramblers are going to the dance. But so we are joined now in studio by Mike Stark, who is the executive producer of a new documentary on the life and the legacy of Cardinal Francis George, the late Archbishop of Chicago, also a contributor to Shalom World TV. Mike, thanks for joining us again.
Good to be here. I'm a rambler, too, but only in the way I talk.
Oh, all right. Oh,
I'm
sorry.
I'm actually a warrior.
I was going to try and build a bridge with you here.
No.
Now you've blown it up. You just ramble. Okay, yeah, that's true. So
you
listeners,
and Father Jim know that, right, buddy?
Right. Yes. Well, Mike is a friend of the show and has been kind enough to come on a couple of times as my guest. He is also the producer of a terrific Bible app called Truth in Life. And where if you are wanting to do something to enhance your spiritual life during Lent, you can download the Truth in Life Bible app. You can listen to the entire Gospel of Matthew, correct?
Or Mark.
Mark. The entire Gospel of Mark for free. And then it's a very nominal cost to get the rest of the scriptures, all read by professional actors, many names of which you'd know. Definitely worth it if you're looking for a way to make your commute in the morning or in the evening more centered around Christ. You can listen to the Gospels. Mike, you're also involved in a really interesting conference that's coming up this weekend. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am, and the guy sitting next to me is going as well, Padre James. It's called The Men of Christ, and this year is the 12th annual Men of Christ Conference, just north of the Cheddar Curtain there. So Father Jim and I and some of our friends are going to invade that state to the north. It's at the Milwaukee Theater. I think they've renamed it this year something in the Miller High Life Theater, but it's actually the Milwaukee Theater in downtown Milwaukee. And it's just a whole day from 9 a.m. To about 3:30 p.m. Our former bishop, auxiliary bishop Jerome, the great Jerome Listecki, is going to be celebrating Mass as well. He's, former Chicago priest and bishop, and Father Hyde can tell you a little bit about his history. Actually, it's unique. Father Jim, why don't you tell the listeners who Archbishop Listecki is and where he came from and who he is the successor to?
Well, I had the privilege back in the day at Mundelein during my theology classes to have him for moral theology and canon law. And so I got to know him up at the seminary, and I learned from him. And he's got an encyclopedic mind and very insightful and just a great personality, very gregarious and outgoing. He grew up at St. Michael's Parish on the south side, south shore, and that's where the first Polish-American bishop came from, Bishop Rohde. And Jerry's archbishop is the, Polish background, so I kind of view him as the heir apparent to Bishop Rohde, who ended up in Green Bay. So he's well-loved by so many people, and he's very much was favored by John Paul II. And so we're totally delighted that he is up there in Milwaukee and giving great leadership, bringing these men together, offering that Mass, giving encouragement. He also was in the military as a chaplain, so he's the man for the job.
He's a canon lawyer and a civil lawyer.
A civil lawyer, too. That's right. He went to DePaul.
He went to DePaul for law school and then has his canon law degree as well. So he's, not only a learned man, but also, I've always found him to be just a very pastoral man, a very compassionate, generous person. And with his time, but also, with his personality, he doesn't make snatch judgments. He's a very, just a gentle, Cardinal George had a phrase that he would use sparingly. So when he used it, you knew he meant it and it meant something to him. And that, is that the person is a Christian gentleman. And that was about the highest compliment he could pay you. And I know he felt that way about Bishop Listecki and also about the late Bishop Tim Lyne. that was one of the first times I heard him use that phrase, you know, a true Christian gentleman, someone who tried to see Christ in others and treat them with that kind of dignity and respect. So it's going to be up in Archbishop Listecki's diocese. Mm-hmm. And I've had a chance to look at the website for this Men of Christ conference, and there is a terrific lineup of speakers for this event.
There always is. Last year, Scott Hahn.
How many years has this been going on?
This is the 12th year.
12th year, my goodness.
And,
okay.
Archbishop Listecki, I did want to circle back on Archbishop Listecki really quickly because he was I originally interviewed him last year at the Men of Christ for this documentary on Cardinal George's life. And somehow that video got displaced, so we had to do it over. So basically, he is the alpha and the omega because I was up there last Thursday interviewing him again, so he was the last person I interviewed. But I did ask him one question. It was a little bit of an inflammatory question, to him anyway, because at the end of the interview, I asked him, you know, I asked everybody in one word describe Cardinal George, and he said saint. But then I had one other question for him, and I said, I put on my Cubs hat, and I said, Archbishop Listecki is a diehard Sox fan and not a true fan of the Cubs in any stretch of the imagination. I said, do you think that Cardinal George, being such a huge Cubs fan now that he was with the Lord, did he ask the Lord to help the Cubs win the World Series? And he had this look on his eyes at first, like, what's he doing? Then he saw the Cub hat go on, and he had the Cheshire Cat eyes. Like, he looked at me, and he says, well, Mike, let me tell you, there is such a thing as original sin, and we all have it, and that was Cardinal George's original sin, being a Cub fan. I'm like, okay, buddy, whatever.
Yeah.
But we laughed it off.
Them are fighting words.
They are for him.
You know, yeah, it's funny you should say that because I don't know what made this pop into my head today, but I was thinking about the night that the Cubs clinched the World Series, and not the final game, but when they were going to the World Series, I was sitting with my—
The pennant,
yes, when they were going, and my then 8-year-old daughter turned to me, and she said, Mom, she goes, I just feel so sad Cardinal George and Grandpa aren't here to see this. They would have loved this so much. You know, and it just came out. I didn't prompt her. We hadn't been talking about them. And she just remembered both, you know, her grandfather and Cardinal George as having loved the Cubs so much. And I said, you know, honey, you're absolutely right. That's and that was a sentiment, as we saw during the World Series. Remember the man who went with a transistor radio to his father's grave and sat right. And listened to the final game with him? That meant so much to so many people. But anyway, no.
But didn't mean anything to Archbishop Listecki.
Well,
in fact, he said it was the White Sox fans crying, knowing that the Cubs were going to eventually win the World Series. They were trying to delay the game with their tears. you know, he's always got a retort for me.
Well, always something.
The one thing I like about you, Mike, is that you do evangelization through sometimes a sports lens, you know. And you're a big sports guy, and you know it's delighted to see you in this. And you know, in the Bible, it talks about baseball, doesn't it? Abraham made a sacrifice. Rebecca brought a pitcher to the well. In the book of Genesis, it talks about in the beginning. But so we're trying to, you know, through sports,
beginning.
We're trying to do a lot. I think in terms of Men of Christ, there's this, you know, we're a sports culture. And I think over time, you and I have done a lot of research on sports figures like Vince Lombardo and Chicago.
Lombardi.
And, mm-hmm. and certainly, yeah, they're up in, he's up in Green Bay.
Did either of you see the episode of Jeopardy? This kind of went viral. Mm-hmm. This I'm slightly going off tangent here, but Father Jim, you will appreciate this.
We go off tangent all the time.
All the time,
man.
On
it's
the show. Where they
Lombardo.
Had three, the category was football. And so the questions were all, you know, football,
it.
Really? Did you see it? And not one of the contestants. I mean, even questions I myself could have gotten, like Lombardo.
Lombardi. Yeah, you don't know it's Lombardi.
And finally, you know, Alex Trebek, just in sheer frustration, throws his pen down and looks at these three contestants and like, do you know anything? And everyone started to laugh. Google it. It's very, very funny. The three non-sports fans people on Jeopardy. But you know, it's interesting. That conferences like this are still so popular, mm-hmm. even at, you know, I remember when Promise Keepers was a big thing for the Protestant community, and that there were protests outside of the Promise Keepers conferences. And I remember very clearly Cardinal George being asked by the media, you know, what he thought of Promise Keepers, and was it misogynistic, and was it, you know, and he said, listen, there is nothing wrong with men who want to get together and pray with other men. And in the same way, there's nothing wrong with women wanting to get together and pray with other women. You know, men and women are different. They pray differently. They They have relationships with God in a different way, and there's nothing wrong with that. But does anyone remember there was a little mass hysteria because men were going to get together and pray, and to pray to be better husbands and to pray to be better fathers? You know, I say sign my husband up. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be able to go because I have to be out of town working Saturday. But this, I just wish I'd known about this in advance.
To that point, Mary, it's true. There's a loss of masculinity in this culture, and you know, how do we form and train our young men into responsibility? And my experience at this conference is, you know, these men are serious about their faith. They're serious about proper formation in their moral and lives. They're searching for virtue. And boy, the lines of confessions, you know, are just huge.
Are they really?
We priests were hearing 3-4 hours of confession. So the men know that, you know, there's no question, and certainly in the pro-life movement, I've learned this, that with the feminist movement, certainly there was a need to really show an appreciation for women in our culture and to address past wrongs and help women, especially when they're in a crisis pregnancy and things like that, and for the men to respond in a more positive way to strengthen marriages. But we find ourselves, too, though, now men are, as Dr. Tigers, I always follow his writings, Dr. Tiger from Rutgers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were Dr. Tiger Woods.
No. No. He wrote a book called The Decline of Males, and this was at a conference that Cardinal George went to, oh, maybe about 15 years ago in Chicago, and Dr. Tiger spoke about this point, is that men feel, you know, a dislocation, a disconnection. And what we're trying to do is to bring these men together and say, you know, we're wounded as men in this culture, and we want to get back on track, and we view our Catholic faith as very important in that process, and it is to love and appreciate women. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, terrific. Well, when we get back, we'll continue to talk a little bit more about the lineup for Saturday's Men of Christ Conference and how, listeners, you can either sign up the man in your life, or if you're a man, you can go yourself. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, inviting you to be drawn to Christ's passion through the wonderful performance of the 7 Last Words of Christ, 7 p.m. Friday, March 23rd at St. Mary Church, 19515 115th Avenue, Mokena, Illinois.
The Last 7 Words of Christ is both a theatrical and musical portrayal of the Passion of Christ. Unlike any other production, the actors never speak a word. The narration and dialogue of the scenes are given by the 50-member choir, soloists, and live orchestra through the musical work of composer Theodore Dubois and others. Simonetta Pasek, director, Anna Pasek, conductor. Purchase tickets at St. Mary's after all masses or the parish office or online at danceintegro.com. DanceIntegro.com. And click on shows. The Last 7 Words of Christ, Friday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. at St. Mary Parish, 19515 115th Avenue, Mokena, Illinois.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and it is my privilege, as I do every Monday, to sit in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am joined this hour by two men of Christ, Father Jim Hyde and Mike Stark. And we're talking about the Men of Christ Conference. It's going to be happening this Saturday in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Mike, you were telling me you brought Father Jim to this conference for the first time last year.
I did. And I've been going to this conference since I created the Truth and Life Bible to share that with everybody. And the people up there, Kevin O'Brien and the men who run this conference, are absolutely amazing. I will respond to something that was said earlier before the break. There is also a Women of Christ conference that is every November, or late October, early November, where they have like 2,000 to 3,000 women. Again, Archbishop Listecki, celebrates Mass, but they have great speakers. Both conferences have had Scott Hahn and Jeff Cavins, so there are both. But yeah, I invited Father Jim last year, and he said this guy is such a mover and shaker. He wants to have a relationship with the people to the North. He wants to help, bring them down for the March for Life.
Yeah, there's kind of like a Berlin Wall kind of thing there, isn't there? Between
it's a Bear Packer thing.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Bear Packer thing.
Maybe especially as I insult their football coaches, right, and say Lombardo instead of Lombardi. Yeah,
that's okay. Right. I don't.
So no, there's.
But
there's,
he's a good Catholic.
Yes.
Yeah, he daily Mass. Yeah. Vince went to daily Mass.
Yes. And Bart Starr said, if you saw him at practice, you'd know why he needed to go every day. Maybe a little confession.
That's very funny.
But Father Jim, I brought him last year. I said, you got to come to this. It's amazing. And he's like, okay, I'll go. And he didn't know what he was in for, but we got to go to the dinner, and Scott Hahn was there, and I was doing the TV show there at the time and interviewing people, and he was giving me a lot of – he's a brilliant man. I won't build him up too much too often, but this guy is a brilliant man. He knows so much about the history of our church, and he's just done so much.
That's because he went to Notre Dame. I'm going to give a plug.
Anyway, the bottom line was I brought him last year, and he came out almost in tears from the confessional.
Wow. So, Father Jim, you heard confessions?
I'll let him take it from
there. Yeah, you heard hours.
Well, in many ways, it's like years ago where women confessing abortion and being so upset and in broken relationships, really broken hearts. And I know, as we've learned in the pro-life movement, women are really hurt, and the silence no more is to express that. But now there's the other part where men have failed in many ways in the society and, again, the decline of males, that theme, and now we have all these issues with, gender wars and what have you, picking your own sexuality and gender, and so there's so much confusion out there anthropologically, and which ultimately leads to abortion, and so hearing these men struggle, and this is the reality. It's what the Pope Francis is saying: the field hospital.
Right.
We're a field hospital in the confessional, and so we try to make our march that way, and certainly these men up there in Milwaukee, and I know it's under good leadership under Archbishop Listecki, given that he was our teacher here in Chicago, and he's, as you say, Mary, he's really a Christian gentleman. So something wonderful is happening in Milwaukee, and they've had struggles up in Milwaukee in the church, with what happened with Archbishop Weakland. So it's those situations we learn from these situations, circumstances, to do better. And as a church, we're Semper Ecclesia Reformanda, we're always trying to, do better. So in our pastoral practice, we see this stuff going on. Now we can address it and we can find some solutions. And these men, Kevin O'Brien, as you say, Mike, is an exceptional guy. Didn't he play for NFL Lions?
Yeah, he was on an NFL camp as well with Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And what's going on with Men of Christ is every year they bring some tremendous speakers. They actually had Vince Lombardi's grandson a couple of years ago, Joe Lombardi.
Oh.
And he works with Drew Brees. He was a New Orleans Saints
offensive
coordinator.
Oh, no
so
kidding.
He was talking about what a great Catholic Drew Brees is.
Mm-hmm.
And this conference, as I mentioned, has been going for 12 years, and they start with just a couple of guys. It's like a lot of these organizations. It's not just okay. It is growing. We had people, because I'm on the board now, as is Father Jim, to bring people up from Chicago and to grow this conference. But I've been to a couple of executive meetings where they had a gentleman from Seattle, Washington. They had somebody from Texas. They had somebody from Arizona. They have people from all over.
So there's a desire.
They're learning
this.
From Kevin and this group as to how to grow their conferences in their regional areas. And the bottom line is They do it better than everybody. And, and you know, we've got a great archbishop up there from Chicago that's like leading the way. So we got to show these guys how to do that. And hopefully our football team will take it to their football team in the near future. But the point is up there, these guys are all working together. It doesn't matter where they're from. They're on fire. Mm-hmm. They're on fire. And you come into the auditorium and you sit there and you listen to some of these great speakers. This year we've got Tim Staples, who I heard last year at the Great Lakes Men's Conference.
Right.
And he is fantastic, a former Marine, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Father Robert Spitzer is also going to be there. A lot of people know him. Dave Durand, who's an amazing businessman. He was the marketing director for Lighthouse Catholic Media for years and runs a third largest publishing house in the country now, Best Version Media, which does local publications. But he's just all about being the best version for yourself. I sound like Matthew Kelly there, mate. All right. And then Father Cliff Erminger, who is a who's an exorcist, and he's also a well-respected priest. So you've got those guys. But basically, it's all about, it's not so much about the speakers as it is about you saying to your fellow neighbor, your son, your father, whoever it is who may be a little disconnected, tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm not trying to drag you kicking and screaming to church. Will you come with me to this conference? It's about fellowship. It's about men being men. And it's about being a strong Catholic and putting on the armor.
Well, it's also, you know, what I like about it, as I look through the speakers and some of the topics, what I liked about it is that it also is equipping men. So Tim Staples is an apologist. And what an apologist does is it helps, he or she helps someone, first of all, to know the faith and then to speak about it or defend it or share it with someone. So it's not only going to, you know, this kind of weekend, as I understand it,
or
the day,
one day
rather.
It's just
one day,
yeah.
Right. So it's not even asking you to give up a weekend. But it is, what it does is it not only gives you an opportunity for something like confession, and it not only gives you an opportunity to, you know, hear a really good spiritual topic for reflection, but it also equips you by giving you information that you can then go back as a man and share with your brother or with a buddy or with your son. And you know, that's part of it, I think, that that's a real value, I think.
You know,
and one other thing I'll add there is there are multi-religions. There are pastors from Protestant faith.
Oh, that's interesting.
They had a number of people from different religions up there, and they made it clear to me because I did a TV show on the conference last year, and they wanted to get the Protestant pastor on the show, and he didn't want to come on. Yeah, I'm doing a TV show for Catholics. Like, hey, we're converting him, and that's not what it's about.
No.
It's about them just wanting to become closer to Christ,
right?
I.e. men of Christ. But it is open to everybody. And again, it's not anything other than saying, hey, Jim, come with me and we'll go spend, you know, a few hours together. They feed you and everything else. And it's just one day up there in Milwaukee. And it's this Saturday, March the 10th. And they have a pregame the night before for the younger people. So
okay.
Like teenagers.
So just practically speaking, if someone wants to sign up even today or this week, how do they go about doing that?
They go to, I believe it's Men of Christ. You'll have to let me get back to you after the event because the piece of paper, you just look up Men of Christ. It's
right.
Pretty easy to figure out, but it's next Saturday.
Okay, I just did it. So it's menofchrist.net.
It is .net, right.
Yeah, menofchrist.net.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome.
You're the best.
That's why I keep my computer with me here. So menofchrist.net. And
I think it's like $60 or whatever.
Okay.
And it's free for seminarians. I met some seminarians last night with Kevin Matthews, and Father Jim and I were together for that. And we were saying, look, it's really something you should experience. And it's, like I said, it's not, they don't always have the best speakers in the world. I mean, Scott Hahn's not too shabby, and Tim Staples is great. But it's more about, like you said, exactly, it's dialing your faith in a little bit and just spending a little time with the Lord. And there's adoration, there's confession, there's a good sack lunch. There's always a good sack lunch with a sandwich, and you can have vegetarian if you want. And it's all good. You had something else to say there, buddy?
Yeah, Mary and I were talking at the beginning of the show that, you know, we were talking about pro-life leaders and we have a history and legacy. And certainly, you know, we're talking about sports figures, you know, big names like, you know, that live the Catholic faith as Catholic men, you know. And Vince Lombardi went to daily mass. And then you got, you know, George Halas was a good Catholic man and ran the Bears. Charlie Bidwell ran the Chicago Cardinals, now out in Arizona. So, but it's so we men know that Catholic manhood in the past responded, and exemplary people who helped build the culture. But we also know, you know, back to another point that Mary and I were talking about, just ordinary folks, ordinary men who run families, you know, have families, run businesses. They just want to be members of the community. They're looking for support. And it's for all, you know, and that's what's so attractive about this particular conference. So we in Chicago could definitely benefit and receive a lot of help from this.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that a lot of people start grabbing onto this because, like Father James said, you've got the March for Life where people are coming in here now. This is a conference. We don't need to have our own conference in Chicago because this is literally just over the border. I mean, mm-hmm.
Well, to that point, Michael, it's very important because as we reform, you know, renew the church, we have in the Archdiocese today under Cardinal Supich this idea of renew the church. We're teaming up parishes. We lack resources. We're struggling maintaining a number of our parishes, some really poor infrastructure, some issues with that, and we're teaming up. Well, why not in terms of dioceses? That, you know, as an American church, we can benefit like a pastoral quid pro quo. So if Milwaukee's doing good work in this area and we can benefit, why not? Why do we have to establish it? A lot of people go up to Milwaukee anyhow or Wisconsin.
Sure.
So I like this. It's good teamwork. You know, hey, that's a sports theme, teamwork. And I think we lack a lot of teamwork in our culture. There's too much, in my opinion, individualism. So this is really good teamwork. It's going to benefit the Midwest. We have our Chicago March, and we look forward to the Men of Christ from there to come down here.
Right. And the Men of Christ also has people coming, as you met last year, people from Indiana, Kansas. I mean, you wanted to meet all these people. You're like, oh, you're from Michigan. Like, there's a big contingent of people from Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and like I said, these other men's conferences in Washington State and Texas and Arizona, whatnot. That's fine, but that's just a representative.
Yeah.
So people are coming from all over to this, and we really want to give a good Chicago presence and wear our Bears jerseys.
Well, it sounds like it would be well worth the trip. Well, listeners, when we get back, we'll continue our conversation about the upcoming Men of Christ conference, how you can attend or enroll a man in your life to attend the conference this coming Saturday. Please stay with us. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to stanschurch.org. That's stanschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today, as I do on most Mondays, for Father Anthony here on Listener Supporter, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am joined today by Mike Stark, who is the executive producer of the Truth and Life Bible Series, and Father Jim Hyde, who is the Archdiocese of Chicago's liaison to the pro-life movement and different pro-life ministries. And Mike and Father Jim have been telling us about a really amazing conference for men coming up this weekend. It's a day-long conference in Milwaukee called the Men of Christ. And this looks like just a, I've been looking through the website during the breaks, just a tremendous opportunity for any man in your life. If your husband or your brother or your anyone you know is looking for a little something to do for Lent out of the ordinary, this would be a wonderful thing to sign them up for. But Father Jim and Mike, you were off air telling me a little bit about some other really interesting things that you were doing over the weekend with a well-known Chicago area radio personality.
Right. Yeah, well, we were with Jim Schwartz. I mean, Kevin Matthews over
right.
the weekend. Kevin came in, for those of you who remember Kevin from his days at the Loop, he was the number one radio personality in Chicago for a long time. He was here for about 30 years. And he bounced around from several stations. He was on the Loop for a long time, but he is now all in for Mary. I mean, when I say all in...
And that's like, not me, Mary. This is a different Mary.
He'd like to if he
yeah,
met you.
Well, no.
Yeah.
He has
well,
met
you,
me.
You were on the show. That's
yes.
right. You had him on the show.
I'm a fan, right? He's a friend of the show.
So he's got Broken Mary. And so he was back in town. And I feel kind of spoiled because...
Broken Mary is his book.
Right? And his statue.
And his statue.
Well,
statue.
His statue, right. which is your statue, which is everybody's statue. But we on Saturday, we were in... two of the most beautiful churches in the world, which happened to be right here. We were at Our Lady of Sorrows on Jackson Boulevard, West Jackson, and then we went over to John Cantius. So we were in those two places. Both the pastors, both Father Kaminsky and also, is that correct, Father James? Did I pronounce his name properly? Not to be confused with Kaminsky Lombardo.
Kremsky.
Chris Kremsky, that's how you said. And then Josh Caswell over at St. John Cantius.
Oh, marvelous.
They're going to have him back to speak there. Last night we were at Father Jim's childhood parish, St. Juliana, in Park Ridge, not to be confused with those other two churches, which are just like pieces of art with bricks. I mean, they're just unbelievable. But Kevin was talking about Broken Mary. In his career, he contracted MS and has been very sick. And he's had a couple miracles, and he found this statue of Our Lady by a dumpster. He's written a book called Broken Mary. They went through 1,500 books last night in like 10 minutes.
No kidding.
They sold out.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so I read the book cover to cover, and I have to tell you, it is well worth the time to pick up the book and read it, truly.
You know what was great about that yesterday was that... we had Kevin, and I'm learning a lot about Kevin in his Loop years because, I mean, this is talking about, yeah, you're introducing me to a whole other world because my attention for many years was more in the theological realm, and Mike's been illuminating me, and so, wow, and Loop Radio and Kev Heads and all this wonderful stuff. But I met him, Kevin through Guy Murphy at Totus Tuus, the pilgrimages. He was giving a talk, and I said, hey, Kevin.
Total Years Conference is what's coming up April 21st.
Yeah, and I said, you know, could you speak or could you lead the rosary at our Chicago March for Life, Kevin? And this is great teamwork again, great connecting at the Church of the Assumption where Mother Cabrini used to worship at our March for Life. And Kevin agreed. He led the rosary. And he promoted his book, and because the rosary is our pro-life prayer. I mean, it goes back to St. Dominic and a fight against the Albigensians and what have you. So Kevin's bringing this to life, and then to have it at St. Juliana's yesterday. Great teamwork after the march. Now he's going to our parishes. And it's great to hear Kevin's story because he's getting more and more into what we call Mariology, the study of Mary, a whole field of theology. And Chicago is such a Marian city, mm-hmm. if you will. I mean, our first cathedral was Old St. Mary's, and we had the altar of the Assumption.
Right.
So Kevin is really bringing us back to our roots, our Marian roots. You know, for a lot of us in our day, the rosary is tossed out the window. You know, it's a broken situation. And thanks to Kevin, we're getting this. And what an audience yesterday, huh, Mike? The church was full.
It was packed. Mm-hmm. And the lines afterwards to come meet him to touch the statue. This statue has offered miracles to people. And I know it sounds weird. I mean, I'm the straightest person, you know, the most real mm-hmm. you're going to get. I'm not going to tell you, oh, there was a miracle, blah, blah, blah. I'm not that guy, okay? I'm a straight shooter, and I call BS when
well,
I see it.
Well, you were in the choir loft
with
yesterday.
You
were all alone up there with me, and all of a sudden he shouts in front of the whole congregation, Kevin, where can we find your app, right?
Yeah, because the people were asking questions and relating mm-hmm. to, like, how do your Loop listeners feel about your conversion? Kevin said, I've been loving Jesus Christ since I knew who Jesus Christ was. because he's been broken his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why he calls the statue Broken Mary, because she was broken in half. And he didn't repair her to a like new status, which was offered. He had her connected at the waist where she was broken.
Right,
because
she was broken, just to glue her back
but
together.
But he says, we're all broken. And he says, I'm broken. And there was a priest that came in at John Cantius and said, may I pray? We were in the chapel. And he says, I'm the most broken person. Now, this is an old priest. Like, I have so much respect for priests. And this guy comes in, and I was, like, blown away by the way he came in and just adored this statue. But nobody said, hey, how do you get the statue? Or a statue, how do you get to the website? And so I said, how could you find it? Now, it's in our Truth in Life Bible app, by the way. It's a link in my app, which has Bishop Barron and all the other stuff. So that's downloadjesus.com. There's my plug. Mm-hmm. But for him, it's Broken Mary.
It's permitted.
And you can go to Broken Mary, and his book is sold through Matthew Kelly's stuff publishing company. But
you can also get it on Amazon, too.
Right, yeah. But Dynamic Catholic. But it's a great read. It talks about his career. It talks about his childhood and really gets into some serious childhood issues
mm-hmm.
that most people would be, you know, either ashamed or just, hey, it's none of your business. I'm not going to talk about you. He opens his whole life up to you.
Yeah.
And this is an amazing story, and he's on fire for Our Lady.
He is.
And he's turning some of these
He said yesterday, Mary is like an evangelist. Through her eyes, we almost have another gospel, you know, through her perspective. And I must admit, Michael, you did a theological, I have to correct you, just as you corrected me with Lombardo. Lombardi,
I'm not a priest,
you said we adore the statue. We do not adore
the statue. Or the statue causes miracles. So thank you for jumping in before I could.
Lord, whatever, guys.
Well, that's
that
well,
over my head.
But the mic,
Dame.
I know. Well,
we
there
have
you
to
go.
Get, we, have to,
from,
we have to get it correct.
Right.
We're working on it together.
Well, that's,
right?
And that's particularly, you know, what we don't want is, you know, this show is broadcast to 4 different states. And, of course, it's also live streamed at windsofchaseshow.com.
I'm a football player, guys, okay?
And,
it might
no,
get to the Vatican doctrine of the faith.
Well, it's not so much that. It's that our Protestant brothers and sisters do sometimes think that we worship statues.
Well, I'm not saying you worship the statue, but
through our Lord's intercession and God's direct action, He's allowing.
Be more precise.
Right.
After the show's over, you're going to beat me up even
so,
more.
So only God does miracles. We just want to clarify that is the position of Winds of Change as the show. Only God does miracles.
I agree.
But certainly, we have a great love and reverence for Our Lady. And we offer her as a role model to not just women, but to all Christians who seek to become. I mean, when you think of it humanly, she was the closest to our Lord because she was allowed to carry him under her heart. And therefore, we try to model our lives on her example. So Kevin Matthews, I think, found that a very maternal a source of grace in Mary. And that's why that statue, this old broken statue that he found. And I remember from the book, he says quite clearly he heard a voice saying to him, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And it was our Lord asking him to take care of his mother, you know, sort of just thrown out in the trash. Of course, it's not actually Mary, but it's a representation of her. And we try to treat sacred things specially and not throw them into the trash.
And his point also was you have to go to Jesus through his mother. Like Jesus wants you to go through his mother. I mean, he's not saying don't pray to Jesus and don't pray to the Father, but he's saying, you know, Mary is a good way to pray. They can lead us to the Father. And yeah, I did misspeak.
Let me
do that all the time.
Let me tell you the story. One of the greatest football players in the city was Mario Tinelli. He played for the Chicago Cardinals.
Mats Tinelli.
He was in the Death March. He went
to
Notre Dame.
Where did he go to college?
He was at Our Lady of Lourdes. He graduated with some of my family there at Lourdes, and he had a great love for the Blessed Mother. And because of the, you know, he would get through the Death March and
the
all.
Baton death
so
march.
He went to the University of Notre Dame. I think that's what Mike Stark was trying to get at. But talk about the pass. Do you know about this? The pass that he caught in the game against USC. You know how he survived the Baton Death March.
Yeah, 70 yards. He was up at San Fernando, up north of the Bay of Manila, and there was the Death March, and thousands were dying, and. His love for Mary, he had his Notre Dame ring, and the officer said, hey, one of the soldiers, give me your ring. They were stealing and killing people and such. And,
it was a Japanese soldier.
And Mott said, no way, that's mine. And they started to fight. And then an officer on a horse who went to USC said, wait a second, that's Mott's Tinelli, and said, let him keep his ring. And so Mott's had this great love for Mary, He was a great man. Great. So let's continue that
tradition.
Well,
we started with the University of Notre Dame and ended with it. So thank you.
I love Notre Dame.
Thank you to Mike Stark.
Thank you to
Father Jim. If you're interested in the Men of Christ Conference, menofchrist.net, happening this Saturday in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there are still tickets available. This has been Mary Fiorito, joined today by Mike Stark, Father Jim Hyde, priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Thank you for spending your lunch hour with us. And join us tomorrow and every day at 12 noon for Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?